So without further ado, here's John Gordon, Chief of the Bureau of Blind Services.
So anyway, you guys, I think the last time I came to this convention, I think...
Closer to the mic.
Anyway, that's better, right? Anyway, the last time I attended your state convention was, I think, just a couple weeks after I started the job. I started October 16th of last year, so I just celebrated a one-year anniversary, and it has been a... it's really been a... baptism by fire, and you know, a lot of things have went on and a lot of things haven't went on. So let me just start with my report. So I've been spending a lot of time at Icry Wood for the last year. I usually spend about a half a day there almost every day of the week that I am in Chicago, because I have observed a lot of areas of concern, probably not much different than a lot of you have experienced. I just wrote a letter recently to our central office, and basically, I said, this facility is a train wreck, and it's not my fault, it's your fault. You guys put this state and put blind people in this position. I have really received no staff. In fact, I've lost staff. That's really a shame. I have got approval to get staff, but like I say, I'm not really in charge of the hiring that's done through our personnel department combined with CMS. And it is, it's really just a really pathetic situation, I'll just tell you. And I will tell you this. For the last 12 months, I know people, before I took this job, everybody always told me that BBS was the stepchild of rehab. You guys have heard that, right? Well, you know, I've been pretty outspoken about that, and I've made those same statements to people in Springfield. At least now I don't have everybody denying it any longer. Some people will at least somewhat admit to it. And, you know, it's a shame because, you know, I make the same money regardless, but that's not what it's about. It really comes down to customers and service. So, like I say, I have done everything in my power. I do have a meeting Monday, and I hope some things will change because, like I say, I've been somewhat aggravated at the slow process that we have to work within. But sticking with Icry Wood for a minute, some positive things are going on. So it only took me 11 months to get large print and braille signs outside of all interior doors. Yeah, I mean, that's something everybody else have been successfully observing for over 20 years, right? But yeah, so we got that done. We have a big renovation project starting in the next couple of weeks, and it'll be done by the end of the year. We will have new flooring throughout most of the building. The windows will be changed for low vision people who, I don't know how many of you know this, but a lot of the building, especially the lobby area, has a lot of glass, and it presents a lot of problems with glare on sunny days. So there will be a covering put over the windows that will allow light in, but it will take away the glare completely. There will be new floors throughout the facility. All the old carpeting will be torn out of all of the dormitory rooms. That's good. In the basement of the building, you guys, we have a hallway that stretches. Oh, it stretches like a half a block. It's a long hallway, 8 foot wide. So in this renovation project, That will be changed into a interior mobility training unit, and it will be have complete with everything you would come upon on the outside, from landscape gravel to artificial grass. And this will be used in some of our situations where it's hard to get people outside. Sometimes the weather is a problem. So anyway, we're going to do this, see how it is. The school does. We have more deaf-blind students than we've ever had before. Currently, the school has 42 students. About 30 of them are residential. About 12 of them are commuters. The school will be changing. The school model has kind of been, in my opinion, for many years, a medical model. Now with the changes in WIOA, but this isn't what forced us to change. Since becoming bureau chief, I always felt that it should be a vocational model. So hopefully we're going to get some staff to help procure some of those services in the near future. I have got verbal approval to bring in a health and wellness coach. I have got approval to bring in a industrial arts teacher. You know, the facility is approximately 79,000 square feet. It's a large facility. And I've talked to the superintendent many times, and, you know, we need to be engaging and inviting to all interested parties, you know, including you guys. You know, you ever need to use the auditorium, use it. I have a hard time getting things done, as I've expressed, with the state. I mean, I will tell you, for our gymnasium, which we don't have a gym teacher, we don't have a health and wellness coach yet, but anticipating that, I just had a friend of mine who is a doctor who owns many health clubs in Chicago. He just donated a $15,000 universal gym to our facility. But understand, it's not even easy to accept donations, okay? That even comes with problems. I was just talking to Byron out in the hall, and he said when he was at the school in 2010, he said, you know, we had a big problem with lack of Wi-Fi. We still don't have Wi-Fi in most of the building. And that's really shameful, because not only blind, but deaf-blind, they really depend on this service. And it's not even a question, you guys, of money. We have the money for it. But it's layered in bureaucratic nonsense. That's the best I could tell you. We are making some movement on it, and I thank the Blind Services Planning Council members for really being diligent. But there's things you guys know that you can do that I can't do. Listening to the resolution this morning, you know, it's somewhat disheartening to me, but I also understand, because, you know, it was a short time ago that I was out there, you know, and some of these same concerns that you have, I have had. I obviously have a responsibility. I will tell you, and, you know, I use Blind Ink, I use Colorado Springs as an example all the time to our staff at the school. I said, go online. I do all the time. Look at some of the things they're doing. You see, because I do embrace the fact that we need to challenge people. We shouldn't settle for, now I sound like I'm talking to the staff at Hickory Wood, but I don't think every blind person, I don't think ADL should amount to learning to cook on a George Foreman grill. Blind people can use stoves, right? But sometimes people, as you guys all know, they like to dummy down people who are blind and visually impaired, and that's what I don't want to do. So like I say, Like I say, you know, hopefully the school is going to go through some changes. You guys know that my boss, Director Smith, will be leaving at the end of the year, which is she announced her retirement not too long ago. And I'm happy for her. Her husband has had some health problems. She's still pretty young. So it's wonderful at 55 years old that you can retire. So I'm happy for her. I'm sad for myself. I'm sad for other people because she's always kind of been a rock, you know, in rehabilitation. Even when she wasn't the director, she was somebody people could go to. Anyway, I want to tell you guys also that outside of Icrywood in our field services, you guys know Jan Sherburn was once the assistant bureau chief. We still do not have that position filled. However, I have placed Elena Forster in the position as interim assistant bureau chief. She's been a project officer for BBS for the last 2 years. She's a Mexican-American. She's somebody that I trust tremendously, or I would never have asked her to fill that position. She also she has about 22 years with the state. Prior to this, she was in home services in their fraud division. But she's really, in the short time, in the short couple months that she's been interim, I've really been impressed with her interaction with the supervisors. But our field staff is very short-staffed. For those of you who don't know, and Denise Avant has brought this concern to me at least more than once, but I mean, within our field staff across all regions of the state, we have one mobility instructor. Right, and that's in Region 4. And that's basically the Springfield area, you guys, going east and west, you know, from Springfield to Quincy. And to tell you the truth, I think one day a week we borrow that person out to the Illinois School for the Visually Impaired. It's very, very sad. We only have two mobility instructors at Icrywood. Now, I'm told a lot of stories why we don't have mobility instructors, but there's got to be people out there who have the ability to provide these services. For years, just so you guys know, the BBS instructor position and mobility instructor position was all combined into one position. So we might hire somebody who we wanted as a mobility instructor, and because they had rehabilitation credentials, they were hired but knew nothing about mobility. It was never separated out. But I have separated those positions out. I've sent both of those positions to the personnel department. I can't tell you what's done. Once you come up with new job descriptions, before we can even post those positions, they have to go to CMS for about a year. Yeah, he's about the only one who could help this situation at this point. But, you know, we will, you know, I will continue to fight for whatever we can get. I'd lie to you if I told you that I didn't need your help. I do need your help. When I say there's things you can do that I can't do. I just had a meeting the other day, you guys, about accessibility and having things in a accessible format. And I'll tell you, our director is very serious about this. She brings these issues up even when they pass me up. She'll bring it up to me. But, you know, I had a serious meeting about this, but they need people from the blindness community to basically get up in arms about it. They asked me to put together a committee of people comprised from BSPC, you know, and to talk further to try to move this situation forward. So as you guys can see, we don't have a lot of staff. I would I would tell you things are pretty, in my opinion, solid with the Business Enterprise Program for the Blind, and you guys have several IEBM members in here today. I don't know if they have any serious complaints, but, you know, people have been doing things a certain way for a long time, and people don't like change, and they especially don't like hard change. So they don't like me. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I feel like I got people a little concerned now because, you know, I almost get to a point where I'm afraid to call somebody at 4:15 because I think they think I'm checking to make sure they're still at work, you know? But we all have a responsibility, you know? And, you know, like I say, I'm going to continue to fight for BBS. I don't know how long I'll be in this position. I told Chris that I don't feel compelled that if the Department of Rehab wants to take BBS in some different direction that I don't feel I could stomach, I won't stay, you know, and I'll join you guys.
Right. Well, yeah. John,
I have the microphone.
Okay. Just let me say this. We are coming up to 11:30, and we are going to have to clear this room. But in fairness to a couple of our members, if anyone, maybe we can take one or two questions for John. And let me say, I do thank John for being available. John has given us permission to pick up the phone at any given time, to call him from time to time. Us and the rest of the stakeholders have had meetings with John. This resolution is not aimed at any one person, but it is aimed at our genuine concern about the services that are being provided or not in the state of Illinois for blind people. So does anyone have a question for John? Oh, okay. I think I heard maybe over on to my right on the left. Who is that? Okay. Patty? Okay, here's
one. Kingdom mic. Come, you guys.
Okay, here's the mic.
All right,
here's
there.
Okay, Amy. Hi. First, I want to say thank you for being such a great advocate, because even though the state is giving us a hard time and there's personally nothing you can do, it's really awesome that we have people like you to represent us. So I first want to start off with that. And my question is, because I'm very privileged. I have a good school district with O&M services, but I have heard of other school districts that don't have O&M services. My BBS counselor, she was saying that we don't even have an O&M in our division. So what can we as students do? You know, we're still pretty young going into college, and this is our future. What specific things, what can we get involved in to help and to do for our future and make it more successful?
Well, that is a great question, and, you know, here's what I'm always told. It's interesting you say that, because I always am told that we can't attract mobility instructors because the schools swoop all of them up because they get summers off, they get great benefits. But I will tell you that if I have to, I will find a way. Like, if you bring your specific issue, if it's an issue of yours or somebody you know, if you bring it to Denise, in some cases we're able to contract with other facilities to provide mobility service, but I will do everything to make sure we can get it.
Okay, I can take one more question, and that was from Jamal. I know a lot of people were trying to get in a question, but Jamal won the day.
All right, are we on? All right,
there you go.
Okay. First of all, Mr. Gordon, thank you for your candor and your honesty. And hopefully, one year we could get a report where things are really beginning to turn around. With that being said, I've heard it said about BBS and the state down through the years, that there's been serious resistance to hiring blind O&M instructors. Now, given the lack of O&M instructors, would you be willing to break that trend in the state and look at qualified individuals who are blind to being O&M instructors?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the answer is absolutely yes. That's number one. And number two, I have, now, there'll be a little resistance from people because there are people that think blind people cannot provide these services. However, I've heard from some people that some of the best training instruction they've ever received was from blind individuals. So I would be more than willing to look at that. I know other people don't embrace it. I actually have a customer in Southern Illinois right now who has contacted me because she would like to become an O&M instructor. However, there's only, I think she said, two or three states out there that are providing this right now as far as training. But I would definitely, you know, things with your or. Yeah. Well, like I say, I would be willing to discuss it, look into it, and I have no resistance to this whatsoever.
Thank you, John. Thank you very much, John. Now, John is going to be with us during the lunch hour for certain because he's also on the student agenda so that they can talk about some concerns specific to students. And who knows, he may be here a little bit longer, but let's give a good hand to John Gordon. We appreciate his coming. And we are going to take our break. The student lunch will start at noon, so be back in this room at noon. But meanwhile, clear the room. Think of Mrs. Jernigan and stand up, turn around, and move.